When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
This is one of those days where I just get very frustrated with the interaction on social media. And most of my interaction today has been about Amendment 5 because, and I'll blame Republicans, and you can blame the governor, you can blame people like me, but people just simply do not have any comprehension of what they voted for. I'm convinced of that because everyone's tossing stuff at me on the X, formerly Twitter, that this simply isn't true, you know. And by the way, like someone here, I'll quote this one because all you had to do in some cases is just read the ballot issue, but the income tax was never going to just go away magically, okay, just so you know. It was going to be phased out. And in order for it to be phased out, there were going to be triggers that have to be met, right? Now, that gets complicated. It gets in the weeds. Most people don't even know what that means, right? But suppose this was the situation. I'll just give you an example. And this is one of the reasons that I support this. And by the way, the other thing people are saying is, oh, you know what? We're not, you know, Nashville and Florida and Alaska because we don't have all this tourism. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is keeping more of my money. And there are offsets to help us do this if we phase out the income tax. And by the way, here's something else you can do. This is crazy. It's nutty. But you can stop spending as much money as you spend, too. I know that that's radical, but you can do that. But there's, you know, literally all these people out there that have no idea what this thing would even do. So I'm concerned about that because the misinformation, the lies really worked. And I just don't know what to say. If they're going to do a campaign like this again, it's probably going to work because people are not going to educate themselves as much as they need to be. And they're going to play into the scare tactics and all this stuff kind of played out on Facebook. But it failed. I knew it was going to fail. And I just hope that we can do this again. Why would there be fear of pitching a proposal to get rid of the income tax and to have people, you know, keep more of their money? I swear, I hope people, whether your payday is this Friday or next Friday, look at your damn paycheck, okay? If you're a working Missourian, look at your paycheck, look at the federal income tax, look at the state income tax, and say to yourself, man, a couple hundred bucks in this check, a couple hundred bucks in the next check, that's $400 that I have. If I have to pay a dollar extra for a haircut, I think I might be okay with that, right? If I have to pay, let's say out of that $400 that I have to pay $100 in sales taxes, which, by the way, I don't think that would happen. But let's say for argument's sake, you have $400 in your pocket, but you have to pay $100 more in sales tax a month. I'm not good at math, but that still seems like you might be ahead $300, right? I don't know. Not very good at math. People weren't thinking about that. You have pensions that are taxed, and you're paying income tax. So a lot of this stuff just got so out of control, and the retorts and the, you know, the answers weren't there, and that's why it failed. And I'm just frustrated because I continue to find people, and these are Republicans, I think a lot of them are, that really had no comprehension of how this thing would work in the long run anyway. All right, I think I might have referred to this the other day, but I want to revisit it here because I think that Clay Travis, who's out there with OutKick, is always doing things that are kind of interesting when it comes to his challenges. And he's got a $10 million challenge that he has offered the WNBA.
If they are going to allow men to play, I think we should have an actual game, not NBA players against WNBA players, high school boys. Let me pick a team. I will put it on pay-per-view. We'll donate all of the profits to Tunnel the Towers for Wounded Warriors. If the high school boys win, I will give them $10 million. If the WNBA team wins, I will give them $10 million. I think we would raise tens of millions of dollars for charity, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
I love it.
If the WNBA really doesn't believe that men are that much better than women at basketball, then the champion of the WNBA should be able to beat a bunch of high school boys. So far, they haven't responded. They always talk about how they want more money. This is more money for one basketball game than has ever been paid to win in the history of the sport.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, no one's going to take him up on that.
Nope.
But he makes offers like that all the time. And, you know, there's science behind it because we've seen the women's national soccer team. We have examples of this in Australia and other countries as well. Look, they train against men. WNBA teams and college basketball teams, they train against men because men are better, yeah, and it's going to make them better, right?
Yep, that's
but,
it.
So the Clay Travis, I don't know who this person is in Minneapolis, a progressive news anchor who responds this way.
One last thing tonight. The entire world of women's sports is facing the debate within its own leagues of who should get to play and who should not. And a voice that often shouts loudly in that debate is a right-leaning outlet owned by Fox News called OutKick Sports. And today its founder took to a new stunt, one that really makes no sense if OutKick is really concerned about caring about women and women's sports.
Of course it makes sense. And you just don't want to see the fact that it does make sense, because how embarrassing would that be for the WNBA or another league to get smoked by a bunch of like 16-year-old boys? And it's likely to happen because it's happened in other sports.
So Clay Travis, he's the man behind OutKick. He announced today he's offering $10 million to the winner of a game of basketball between a high school boys team of his choosing and the WNBA defending champions, the Las Vegas Aces. I thought to myself, why? But obviously the answer is because he thinks it is so impossible for any group of women, let alone the best in the game, that they could ever beat younger and more inexperienced boys.
That's an interesting spin. We'll get back to that in a second.
It's a thinly veiled sexist joke, revealing the actual truth of how he and his organization feel about women's sports. It's not about caring about them. They think women's sports are a joke.
No. No,
good night.
We think, well, I think the WNBA kind of is a joke, but
yes.
what I think is that women, this is crazy too, this is another radical position. I think women should be playing women's sports, right? And so does Clay Travis. Now, who is this person who is the coach for the Indiana Fever?
Which, again, is why Title IX exists.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is the entire reason it exists.
All right, so I'm a little disappointed, and by the way, Sophie Cunningham's out there saying, look, I want to get back to basketball, because she's getting so much attention. But Stephanie White is the head coach of the Indiana Fever, and some people are ripping on Caitlin Clark because she's not being courageous here. I think there's a little bit of that in me, too. I think she could probably be more courageous and take a stand, but this is Sophie's lane right now, and Caitlin wants to play basketball, so that's fine. But I'm not going to give that leeway to the head coach of the Indiana Fever, because listen to the way that she answers this question. It's utterly ridiculous. And all these coaches, I mean, all of these WNBA coaches apparently are on the same page. Even Sophie Cunningham's coach, the way that, you know, this answer comes out.
What is your stance on men or athletes who test as biological male participating in women's sports? What's your personal stance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would say that I'm educated enough from a scientific standpoint.
Wait, what? You're not educated enough to know whether a man with a penis would be stronger than a woman? That, what's the education that you need here?
I don't ever believe that exclusion is an answer. I just don't. I do think, you know, when we think about various levels of sport, various governing bodies of sport and things that go into that. Like I said, I'm not educated enough at the different levels. I know growing up, I played with the boys all the time.
This is a fundamental misunderstanding. Okay, did you play with girls who said they were boys? That's the issue. It's not that you played with boys. It's that you are competing against girls and other women, and your whole sport, the WNBA, is based on that.
Yes.
And you don't understand the question or the biology, or you're not an expert enough. That's just completely being a wimp and lazy and intellectually dishonest.
There weren't girl sports.
Would you welcome a biological male in WNBA?
I don't know.
What?
When we
well,
talk
she
about
can't say
biological
no.
male and scientifically where we are, I think it's a totally different scenario.
Oh my God!
As I said, I'm not educated enough in terms of transgender and transitioning to give you a smart answer.
Oh, well, obviously,
are you kidding me?
That's becoming very apparent that you can't give a smart answer. You can just kind of look at the basics of biology. I'm pretty sure that you learned some of those in school.
I would say, though, that I just don't feel like exclusion is an answer, and I think that we need to have deeper, more layered conversations.
And you'd be okay with them in the locker room?
Is there any frustration?
See, she didn't answer that one.
Fantastic run, that this is distracting from that.
You know, there is a frustration, of course. Because
I don't care about that. You know, it's just.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It's ridiculous that she said what she did. And, you know, all the media is in there trying to gin up support for the trans. But she didn't answer that question. Would you be okay facing an opponent that has a male on their team? You know who's been good on this? And he can be a little crazy sometimes, Stephen A. Smith.
Nobody said you can't transition from male to female. The issue here is competing against the women.
Thank you.
That's what Sophie Cunningham was talking about. That's what Riley Gaines is talking about. How are you, Coach Cheryl Reeve, and you could condone that?
Yeah. How could you not understand? That's what's ridiculous
she
here.
She understands.
Well, and she's... Well, so what is that?
Playing
being
dumb.
A coward.
Yes.
She's a
no
coward.
Spine.
We got to stop acting like somebody that's speaking up on behalf of girls, like a Sophie Cunningham, like a Riley Gaines, are scourges of the earth. That is an irresponsible thing to do. You are a coach for a female basketball team.
Thank you, Stephen A. Smith. By the way, Here's something interesting. I meant to send Jen Say a text about this. So Jen's been a guest for several years, right? Fred, we've got a great relationship with her. She runs XXXY Athletics. She was a champion gymnast. She was the CEO of Levi's, right? And when she created XXXY, it was around this topic of allowing girls to compete against girls and little girls to not be disadvantaged by men. So I wear you guys know this because you see it sometimes, but my wife and I both wear a fair amount of XXXY gear. And I don't even know that I'm doing it to make a point as much as I really like the quality of the clothes and the hats are awesome. But I have not had a lot of reaction to those, but let me tell you, in the last 3 days, my wife's had a reaction to it.
Really?
Well, now people know what it is because they've seen the signs with Sophie Cunningham and they've seen Jen and Riley in these pictures, and all of a sudden, so my wife works out of one of our local libraries because, you know, she works out of the house and I kick her out of the house, basically. And I believe there were Alphabet Mafia folks who did not like the fact that she was supporting women and women's sports. So I'm going to be wearing my XXXY gear even more. Oh my God. You guys, just keep me off of X today. I think that's what I'm going to ask you to do, because some of the people chiming in on the failure of the amendments have zero clue what they're talking about. But let's do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, happy National Work Like a Dog Day, and I think that's probably, well, Mark, you worked yesterday.
Hey, look, yeah. I worked like 7 hours total yesterday. That's pushing the limit for the week.
Fred, how much did you work yesterday?
I got here at 7 a.m. and I left at 10 p.m.
Fred's here to the end.
Yes, Fred.
Very loyal.
It's also National Underwear Day. Hope we're all happy about that.
And I will confirm that I'm wearing some.
Oh, that's good.
As far as I will go.
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
And it's National Oyster Day. And our own young Ethan is in Boston, where one should be eating seafood. And I sent him to a place. I said, listen, this place is great. It's called Neptune Oyster.
Ooh.
And he said, and it's just a little place. You got to get there early. You got to get in line. You do that. I found it in one of my magazines, the foodie magazines, years ago. And I went there, and it's so good. I had a lobster roll that made me teary with joy.
Wow. That says
and
something right there.
I said, what are we going to do, though, with your wife? And he goes, oh, there's something on the menu for her. I looked it up today.
There's nothing on the menu for her.
There's no chicken tenders
there
and mac
no
and
chicken
cheese,
tenders.
Right?
There's nothing. There's like a $79 steak. So she's not getting that.
You
they
know,
won't go there, but it was great.
I think I told you, one of the dudes, and I forget his name, one of the guys that was on the Spain listener trip with me didn't like seafood.
Oof.
And that's all we were having.
Yeah. what did he do?
Actually, you know what? Well, you ate something else.
Yeah. Oh. You gotta.
I think
it
might have been
shot,
that might have been the Greece trip, but still, somebody on one
yes.
of those trips like, nope, no seafood. And mainly the dining courses were seafood.
Oh boy. Even Fred's come around.
A little bit.
Yeah. By the way, it's you wanted me to bring this up. It's Maureen McCormick's birthday today.
Here's why I wanted to bring this up, because we all love the Brady Bunch, I think, and I'm speaking for Fred and I mainly.
No, we do.
But when I saw that, so I don't even know, it was Eric Alper, one of the guys that I follow. He posted the birthdays of the day. And what shocked me, and this is what I think will shock a good portion of the audience that's, you know, in the same age group, is that Marsha.
I guess. But every time Marsha turns around, they hand her a blue ribbon or something.
Oh, now, Jan, you know that isn't so. Marsha's worked very hard for those things.
Well, all I hear all day long at school is how great Marsha is at this, or how wonderful Marsha did that. Marsha.
Maureen McCormick is 70 years old. She is 70 years old, Marsha is today.
That just freaked me out.
I know. Well, so that's why I wanted to include it, because I'm like, oh my gosh.
On this day in history, 112 years ago, in 1914, the first electric lights were installed. Now, there'll be a quiz next year, because I go to this every year. Do you remember, Fred, where the first electric traffic lights were installed in 1914? What city?
Chicago.
No,
I was actually going to say Chicago, too. New York City.
Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland, of course. Why
yes.
wouldn't we think of that?
And 69 years ago today, I wanted a little music, so we got this. 69 years ago, it was 1957. Oh, we don't.
Well, I don't know.
Because I sent
you
it to Ethan.
You got
to
tell me.
And then I forgot to send it
to
Daniel.
I don't think we have it.
Oh, man. All right. Anyway, it
good
was.
Recovery.
What was it
going
to
day.
Be?
That'll be the day.
Oh,
would you say? I do like Buddy Holly.
Yeah, that's not in here.
Yeah, well, great, because neither is the rest of the sound that I pulled that was going to be great.
If it makes you feel any better, I sent about 10 things to Ethan before I remembered that he was off today.
Well, it occurred to you at the end.
Yes.
Yes, well. This one is not happy, but it was 64 years ago today in 1962 when Marilyn Monroe's housekeeper discovered her. in the bedroom of her L.A. home. Her death was ruled a possible suicide from an overdose of barbiturates. Very sad. 64 years ago today.
It's just unbelievable how many big, big stars like that have died that way. I mean, look, yes. Michael Jackson, Prince, not all the exact same circumstances, but it's tragically sad, but yes. Amazing how the most popular people, Elvis, you know, all of those people, the most popular cultural icons have died in weird ways.
You know, somebody put up like a timeline of Elvis and just photos, and he was a beautiful, beautiful individual. I mean, early, he was so thin and good looking and fabulous. And boy, by the time you got to the drugs, woof.
It was rough.
It was not good. Now, if you will, in your mind, please hear the song when I say this. 43 years ago today in 1983, Risky Business was released starring Tom Cruise and his tighty whities. Dun, 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 dun. Bob Seger. Are we all hearing it?
Okay, yep, old time rock and roll.
Yes.
By the way, watch that movie within the last 3 years again. One of my favorite movies of all time. Holds up completely.
Good to know.
If you've never seen Risky Business, watch Risky Business. It's outstanding. And it's, by the way, it's not that long. It's like a 90-minute movie.
Oh, I didn't even remember that. We all know that Mark uses Tidal, but here is an interesting fact today. Spotify has hit 300 million premium subscribers. Now, that's the paid kind. Like, Mike uses it, but he's just got the free version where you have to hear commercials all the time.
I have the paid one, too.
Yeah,
I use Tidal mainly,
pay one.
But I do have Spotify because, well, it's a long story.
You have both?
Yeah, I have both.
Oh, okay. Okay, you know how they were predicting that the SpaceX rocket was going to slam into the moon?
Yeah.
It did. Apparently nobody, nobody actually observed it, but a telescope in Chile spotted what astronomers have identified as debris in a plume resulting from the actual crash. And space tracking experts say it was inevitable that the leftover rocket segment was going to plow into the moon. So maybe we will hear more about it in the upcoming days.
That's interesting.
It's sort of like having a Ring doorbell on the moon.
Yeah, right.
You can actually see the impact.
But is this a good thing or a bad thing, or is it like irrelevant? It doesn't really affect anything.
A good question. I don't think it affects anything. They say that it's inevitable, but it should not do anything.
It created a new small crater.
Yeah.
I can't. Maybe we'll hear more. Carrie Underwood, we were just talking about this yesterday, but she's going to perform the show open for Sunday Night Football for the 14th straight season. I can't believe it's been 14.
I can't either. That is shocking to me.
That
you
is
said that.
Crazy.
It's so good,
though.
And
she does such a great job with that.
She does.
She's hard on the eyes, though. I just got to tell you. And she needs a better trainer, especially for those legs.
Yeah,
she needs to work on some sculpting.
Carrie says, quote, "This year's show opened Welcome Sunday Night Football into my ongoing rock star fever dream." And Sunday Night Football kicks off September 13th on NBC and Peacock. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. GEICO stands for Government Employee Insurance Company. It was founded in 1936 to provide auto insurance and federal government employees, but it's always been a private corporation, not a government agency, so anybody could use it.
There you go.
No idea.
Sue's News on a Wednesday. Oh, my God, Sue. Seriously, I'm going to need some counseling after today because I keep making the mistake of looking at my responses on the X Twitter about Amendment 5. And it's just unreal what people are saying and how they think taxes were going to be raised and tripled and doubled. And look, this is on the Republicans and Governor Kehoe for not marketing this thing better. I get that. But I am shocked by how many people, and these are a lot of people that are on my side, you know, usually, but they're making these claims. One guy, I'll read some of this here a little bit later. One guy's saying, yeah, we'd raise our taxes to 25% sales tax. There's not even a state in the country that has anything close to that. Like maybe 11.5%. Now, some of that does depend on special business districts, but there's who would think? See, some of this, all you got to do is think, okay? And I know that's hard for a lot of people, but when you don't have one state in the nation that has anywhere close to 25%, how can you make a claim that that's going to happen in Missouri with a supermajority? And then some guy brings up the tax increase on gas, which, by the way, I supported. You know why? Because it's a user tax. Mm-hmm. And people from Illinois and Michigan and Wisconsin and Iowa and Indiana and Arkansas and Kansas, they all pay it. Okay? Mm. We're not the only ones paying it. It's a user tax. I would say raise it higher because it's a user tax. But, you know, there's no thinking through the issues that way, which is unfortunate and sad. One of the big stories last night, if not one of the biggest here in the St. Louis area, was the victory by Steve Ellman in St. Charles County over Bill Eigel and Jason Law. And we had Steve on for a short time last night. I want to thank him for doing that. He's with us this afternoon. Congratulations.
Congrats, Steve.
On another victory. How are you, Steve?
Thank you, Mark and Sue. How is everything in the loo?
I think it's okay.
Great out in St. Charles.
Yeah, we're settling down here. We're trying to do a little autopsy on what happened both locally and nationally. But a lot of people, and you know me, I was a fan of yours and I wanted you to win, but there were a lot of people predicting that Bill Eigel was going to win this. And it really, in the end, Steve, wasn't close, was it?
No.
No, I was unsure up until a few weeks ago, and I started feeling more and more confident, but I never dreamed we would that I would win by this margin. And of course, very appreciative and very thankful for the good weather. We had a great turnout. I think I may have told you before that 2 years ago, during the primary and election season, there were 92,000 people in St. Charles County who voted for Mike Keel in November that did not bother to vote in the Republican primary. So this time around, and I think a lot of it is because of the interest in this race, but also because of the amendments, we had twice as many people turn out, and they had 40% instead of a 20%. And boy, I tell you, the board people that vote, I think they more legitimate the results.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right about that, and I think the amendments did drive a lot of interest at my polling place. I know I saw more people maybe than a primary. You know, there was some theory that we were tossing around last night, and David Barklage pointed this out, that maybe in St. Charles County in particular, there was a fair amount of crossover where you had Democrats that were pulling Republican ballots to vote in the executive race. Do you see evidence of that?
Well, I definitely know a lot of those 92,000 people that voted Republican in November showed up and voted yesterday. I'm sure there were some Democrats, a lot of independents. You never know exactly how many there are. I think the final toll was 60% of the people in the county took a Republican ballot and 40% took a Democrat. So that's not far off on what we usually have. But I think there was some of that for sure.
So how do you obviously you've had this job for a long time. You were not going to run again. You got back into the race when Bill Eigel declared that he was a candidate. So I don't know, mentally, I'm not saying you were checked out, but you kind of were resigned to the fact that you were going to leave this position at a certain point. But do you want to describe the feelings that you had when you knew or you felt like you had to stay in this race and run again?
Well, I a couple of weeks after the last election, I got rid of all my signs. I mean, I definitely was not planning on running again, and it wasn't because I didn't love my job, and I'm very thankful if the people will give me a chance after the November election to serve four more years. I love the job. I just hated the way Republican politics had become.
Yeah.
You know, I this is only the second primary that I've ever been involved in. And the first one was the first year I ran and Ronald Reagan was still president. And of course, he had the 11th commandment that you don't say anything negative about your other Republicans.
Well, that's
genius. I found out this year that commandment is pretty much gone.
No, that one's been gone for a long time, unfortunately. What is your reaction as a Republican, and as a county executive in one of the biggest counties in Missouri, to what happened with Amendment 4 and Amendment 5? I mean, Steve, those amendments just got demolished, and they got demolished in large part because Republicans voted against them.
I agree with exactly what you said before I came on. Yeah, it just was poorly written. I'm not sure who was writing it or what they were thinking when they did, but everybody would love to cut their income tax, but then to leave it wide open as to what's going to replace it, and in fact that the voters wouldn't have a chance to vote on it. I mean, that's just asking for a no vote, I think.
Well, I think in the end, that is what happened. And on the Amendment 4, I just think Amendment 4 just gets confusing to people. And, you know, in the end, I've admitted this. I ended up voting against Amendment 4 because I thought it was just too convoluted. But it's interesting.
Well, Mark, you were probably still up in Milwaukee or somewhere. But I'm old enough to remember the Hancock Amendment.
Well, no, I was here with that because I came here in 1979. The Hancock Amendment was 1980, right?
Yeah. And we didn't. It certainly didn't pass in Kansas City and St. Louis, but it passed everywhere else and got a majority statewide. And it was exactly the same kind of situation. The Republicans wanted the Democrats who controlled Jeff City to put some sort of break on property taxes like they had in California, and they wouldn't do it, so they had to go to an initiative petition. And yeah, if they would have had to get all 8 congressional districts to approve Hancock Amendment, it wouldn't have been approved.
Well, and I guess I would take a stand. I understand the purpose of what the proponents of four, I don't know who they were because nobody really campaigned for it. I understand what the legislature has been talking about the last few years. It makes my eyes glaze over. And I've thought for a long time, because I've been in Missouri, you know, I was in Milwaukee for a while, but I remember the 1980s and the Hancock Amendment. And I remember a lot of initiative petitions that I thought probably shouldn't have been on a ballot and passed. So I get making it a little harder because of the outside money to change the Constitution. But at this point, I mean, don't you have to say the voters have spoken and that issue has to go away? That's another thing that frustrates people is once we, you know, have our say, especially so definitively on a ballot issue, that then the legislature goes in and tries to maybe undo it. And people don't like that, Steve. I think you know that, right?
Hey, you know, marijuana and gambling, you know, on sports and all those things, they shouldn't be in our Constitution. Mm. They should be in the statute.
That's right. And yes, exactly.
If it's not working out, you can amend the statute any year, any session. But a lot of these things have happened because the legislature has refused to deal with it.
Well, they have no political courage. They don't have courage.
I don't know what's going to happen with the, you know, with these machines that these voting machines. But you know, if the legislature doesn't do anything, we'll probably end up putting that in the Constitution too, or at least somebody will try. So if the legislature would do their job, and the Constitution would be used to basically lay out basic principles that could then be refined by legislative enactment, that's the way it was intended to work, and it just hasn't been working.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, unfortunately, you know, or maybe fortunately, this whole issue kind of goes away, and they look at it maybe from that perspective. Again, congratulations on the victory. Congratulate Kevin Killeen for still having a job. We were worried about him since he's a former colleague. But Steve, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Okay, we're gonna keep Kevin around for at least 4 more years.
Okay. All right, take care.
Good day.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye, Steve.
Yes, yeah, so, okay. You know, I think a lot of people might know Kevin's name. It's funny because I remember listening to Camo X in the 1980s when I was either in journalism school or just out in my, you know, my first jobs, and we wanted to be like KMOX, like when I was in Columbia. And Kevin Killeen was one of those voices, man, that I would hear all the time. He was a bulldog of a reporter for decades at KMOX. And then a few years ago, he kind of surprisingly retired from broadcast media, went to work for Steve Ellman in a communications role. And Kevin's just a great guy. And the downside of having Kevin in that role with Steve is we lost a bulldog reporter, someone who was never afraid to ask important questions of the mayor, of the county executive, of the police chief. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist at all, but he had that reputation. He was really good at it. And, you know, that's good local journalism that, you know, is kind of fading away, unfortunately. All right. Hey, we got another seminar with the team from the Retirement Advisor Group next Tuesday. I'm going to fill you in with Well, my friend Dwayne Patterson coming up after the top of the hour. We're going to crunch on some politics, including what happened in Michigan last night with El Sayed, perhaps the gift that we'll keep on giving to Republicans, even though we didn't get that same, you know, dynamic here with Wesley Bell and Cori Bush. Wesley winning that pretty much, you know, hands down, which I guess in a way renews hope and faith that people aren't as crazy as maybe we think they are. But Cori Bush still got like 52,000 votes in the city of St. Louis. So that's quite shocking as well. Dennis Hancock will be the Republican nominee for St. Louis County Executive. He's going to join me at 5:32. Jake Zimmerman pulls the upset last night. Well, maybe not. I think in the end, he ended up being the favorite over Brian Williams. One of the things that happened in that race is, and I don't think I addressed this earlier, earlier, although I'm not sure it would have made a difference in the end, is that Brian Williams is African-American. Senator Williams is African-American, right? And there was another African-American candidate that got into the race, Angela Mosley, who did it because she don't like Brian Williams, and she drew African-American votes away from him. Looking at the numbers, I'm not sure. Well, you know, you'll never know, right? But her getting into the race and Brian choosing to run his own campaign and not trusting experts, which is baffling to me. And if you're listening, Senator, I'd really like to know what the thought process was there, because I supported him. I thought he would be a better choice, certainly for the Democrats. And it's just confusing what happened. And look, I said this at the beginning of the show. You have several political careers that were pretty much ended last night. Unfortunately, my friend Steve Butts went down to Gina Mitten. Steve's retiring. He's probably better off being out of that craziness in Jeff City. Cori Bush, let's face it, she's done. All right, put the nail in her coffin. Senator Williams, I you know, he term limited out. I don't know that there's a path for him after this disaster. And then Bill Igel. I mean, what is Bill Igel going to run for again? So that's four political careers ended in this primary. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 5 o'clock hour. Hey, Bob Kershaw is here from the Retirement Advisory Group. We got a seminar coming up. We got to talk about. Hello, Bob. Thanks for swinging by. How are you?
Doing good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
All right, here we are. Is this number 4 of 5 of the year? We do 5 seminars. I think we're on number 4 already, aren't we?
We are on number 4.
It's really crazy
the
because
year's flying by.
The year is flying by. Now, we've seen, even in the last week, we've seen some interesting things with, you know, maybe some announcements from the Fed that brought the market down, then it shoots back up. But tell the folks listening right now why we'd love to see them on Tuesday night. It's a free event. All we need to know is that you're coming to save a spot. But obviously, you know, we know the market's rocking and rolling right now. One of the things that you guys like to talk about is locking in those gains from the market right now.
That's
right?
That's exactly right, Mark. Yeah, we talk about a lot how, you know, you can't, when you're young, you can afford the volatility. You can afford the ups and downs and the back and forth. But as you get near retirement or already there, you can't afford the downs because you don't have enough time to gain that back. It could completely change your whole retirement. So what we're going to educate people on Tuesday is how, what the other strategies are, like linking to the market, so you can still get growth, but you don't have to risk your principal doing it. When you're near retirement or already there, it's time to start looking at safety also, because that's going to be key to that perfect retirement that everybody wants.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we talk about that key age of 59 and a half, where you can do some things. You can take the 401k,
absolutely.
You can save some money that way in taxes, and then kind of see where you are. And what you want folks to do is come on Tuesday night or come straight into the office, and you'll give them a plan and really lay out what
absolutely.
Their retirement will look like.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that don't realize when you're 59 and a half, you can roll over your current 401k, 403b. You can do a tax-free rollover on it. You can still leave it open, still keep putting money into it, and hopefully getting matched by your employer.
Right.
But then at least you have the majority of your savings safe. And then obviously any age you can do a IRA or a 401k or 403b from a previous company.
So on Tuesday, we just ask people to go to the website or to call the office and just say, hey, we'd like a spot for the event on Tuesday night,
that's
right?
That's it, yes. Yep.
It is at the DoubleTree by Hilton Chesterfield off of Swingley Ridge Road. We used to do these at Plaza Frontenac. We've moved a little further west. Mark and Annie and I, as you know, will be there. We do a little meeting and greeting. I get there as soon as I can after the show. And then what happens after that, Bob? Just tell folks what they might expect if they show up on Tuesday.
So Tuesday, well, as you said, you guys just do a small meet and greet, and me and Tammy just talk for about 45 minutes tops on the different strategies. Everybody comes and enjoys themselves and learns something. We make sure that you're out of there by 7:30 because we know everybody's probably coming right from work and they want to get home. So we keep it short and sweet.
Yeah, it's not a big time commitment. That's something I know that you guys pride yourself on. Is there something that happens at these, or a reaction that you get even when people come into the office where maybe there's a light bulb moment or something like
always.
That?
So most of the people that we talk to that come to these, the number one thing that they'd never really even thought about, they've actually, a lot of them have heard of it, but have never done it, that are even near retirement or already in it. They've never had a personalized income plan put in place. And they're like, wow, we have never done that. Well, we do that for everybody free of charge. And what that shows everybody is the two major things that everybody wants to know. How long is my, or how much money am I going to have, and how long is it going to last? And when you're near retirement, that's something you need to have put in place. You need to know, okay, during my retirement years, I'm going to have this amount of money coming in, and the goal is hopefully live off the interest only and to never outlive your assets.
I think a lot of people, I'm sure you experience this and you have over the years, a lot of people are just intimidated by the process, right? Don't you think?
And people just don't know.
It's human nature, too, to kind of say, that's way off in the distant future. Until it's not,
and that's what you run into, and then before you know it, that retirement age is right around the corner. And I mean, think about it. What if you were to retire and it's another market like 2008? You're probably not going to.
You're
going to
be working at the QT with me.
So, I think. So I mean, and that's what people have to think about, the people that retired during the dot-com crash compared to the people that retired in 2002. That's a whole different situation. So you want to not have to worry about that. When you have your money safe, you can ride those ups and downs because it doesn't make a difference. You know that you have your retirement ready. So,
all right. So let's get people signed up. What do they need to do? Just go to
retirementkey.com.
You can go online
to retirementkey.com or call in the 314-993-9494.
Get registered. We will save a spot for you. I always like to say, too, if you can't make it on Tuesday night, we'll have one more of these in the fall. But in lieu of that, you can always make an appointment. Just go one-on-one into the office.
Absolutely, always.
All right. I will see you on Tuesday night.
Thanks, Mark. Look forward to it.
Get more at 971talk.com. Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.